I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
So last year, my 17-year-old, well, 16-year-old at the time, basketball player, plays a lot of sports, very, very active, but he got sick. And he had a fever, and he wasn't feeling well. He asked me, he said, could you, run up and get me some, like, Gatorade stuff? Like, I said, sure. So I ran up and got him some stuff and came back. And I sat down on the couch next to him, and we were just kind of watching TV. And he was so tired, he kind of flopped over onto my shoulder and fell asleep. Dude, that was heaven.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to The Dad Experience. Another great episode. We're actually here on location. So if you hear it a little bit boomy or you hear some background, we're actually at Detroit Grooming. So they got a storefront here. They got a lot going on in the back. It's the holidays, so they're gearing up for all the different promotions they've got going on and the different you have some new products coming out. So we usually have Detroit Grooming on once a year. You know, it's the end of November, but we're still at the end of Movember. But today we have on Mike and we have on Lou, both from Detroit Grooming. We're going to talk about parenting, going to talk about some grooming stuff. We're going to talk about all that great stuff that comes along with it and visiting with family maybe over Thanksgiving. So guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Adam. Thanks for having us, and we're excited to be here. I know you said we're on here typically once a year, which is great. If you ever need us again, you let me know, okay?
Whenever you want.
But yeah, November is kind of that whirlwind month. We're just at the cusp of heading into holidays, but still in like the bearding holiday, which is No Shave November. Yeah, so I'm Mike, by the way. That's my voice.
Yeah. And Lou.
Yeah,
well,
and I'm Lou, and yeah, thank you. We're excited
no
to be
problem.
Here, man. This is, we always love this.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So, you guys, we always start our podcast off with Who Lives With You At Home. Mike, I know we've talked to you before, but, you know, for our newer listeners or who's tuning in for the first time, maybe some of the folks that we had on the live, that you had on the live today that you were shouting out to, maybe they're tuning in. So tell them, who lives with you at home? Maybe we'll start with Lou on this one. What's the makeup of your household? Who lives with you at home?
Well, it's my wife, Courtney. We've been married for many, many years. We were high school sweethearts.
Nice.
My son Owen, who is 17, and my son Aiden, who is 14, and then my dog Emmett, who is 4.
All right, we haven't had a pet on the show, like an introduction of the pet on the show for a while.
Family.
No, it is, and I always ask because there's been a couple times where I haven't, and I'm like, we don't have a pet, so I don't know.
Well, now how many cats do you have?
undisclosed amount of cats.
So, Mike, tell us the makeup of your household.
Makeup of my household, my wife Joanna, which we've been married since, it's been a long time. I didn't think about this, but we've been married for about 8 years. We have our boy Joseph. He's 4. He's going to be 5 on the 27th. So,
that's right.
Pretty much right when this podcast gets released. And then we got 2 cats. Christmas and Milkshake, and he named them, if you can figure that out. But Christmas does have a little Christmas tree on his nose, and he's black and white. So this is kind of a cute cat. That's my dog. That cat is my dog.
Nice.
You
so
know?
So Christmas wasn't born around Christmas or anything like that? It just was...
It has nothing to do with Christmas at all, other than this. Well, can I tell you an interesting story about Christmas?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I have a story about everything, Adam. You should know this by
now. Hey, you're dad to a cat, too, right?
I guess. He's the worst child I've ever had. We kept our Christmas tree up all year long. I know that sounds crazy, okay? But I actually really like it. It's got a nice ambiance to it. You got the little multicolored LEDs. It lights up the living room just right. It's just nice. It gives you a pleasant atmosphere. I know it's crazy. It's a Christmas tree, whatever. Right when we got these kittens, Christmas, the cat, was sitting under the tree, and we're talking about what to name them, name these cats, and there he was sitting under the tree, and just my son looked over, and he's like, Christmas. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the best name. So has nothing, no real relation to Christmas other than we just didn't take our tree down. And this year I intended to keep that tree up. Like, I'm going the distance with this thing.
I thought it was up all year.
It is, but I intend to, like, not take it down. Basically, I could just change the decorations and it's now
holiday.
A new tree. Yeah,
yeah, it's whatever holiday. Holiday.
It's like a festive ornament
in the
living room.
I had somebody on the podcast way early on. I think it was in the first season that families from the Philippines too, and they said they start decorating. Like he drew the line. He said though they start decorating September. for Christmas. And it's like a huge – I mean, it's huge everywhere, but it's a huge holiday. I don't know. I'm not particularly familiar with all the climate and stuff there, like actual climate. But it might be when the season's changing. I don't know. I don't know when their seasons change in the Philippines. I think it's opposite.
It might
ours.
Be opposite.
I think it's opposite.
Or they're really close to the equator. Maybe?
Right, so it's warm, so most of the time.
I don't think they change
yeah.
much at all.
Yeah,
it
goes, probably don't.
In December it's 60,
and
June
warmer.
It's 65. Yeah,
so we got two. Yeah. Warm and warmer, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. One more quick thing. There are two small dogs involved in this household, Stella and Rejoice. I don't know why we had to call out our pets. Lou started this whole cascade.
I know.
So now we've got.
They're part of the family.
They are.
Not, I mean, you know.
They're a part of the family. They
I don't
live
know.
There, they sleep there, they eat there. Yeah.
Think about this. In an apocalypse situation,
mm-hmm.
you got your family, mm-hmm. your actual real family.
Which includes the pets.
But are the pets a food source in an apocalypse?
No.
Okay. I had to ask this question.
We took a turn, man. Yeah.
You say this. But we are constantly on the cusp.
I have a teenager. That's the food source.
Save the dog. Use the teenager.
Yeah, use the teenager.
The teenager probably eat me.
Wow.
Yeah. We all got four limbs.
Wow. Well, I don't have... Well, you got to take that back, man.
Well, limbs.
I still have limbs. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. But I'm just
kidding.
Yeah,
we're going arms and legs here. We're going...
I know.
Yeah, dark meat.
I got close.
Stay off the white meat.
I got close.
Yeah.
You know, I did think, though, when you were going to tell me about the Christmas tree story with the cat, I was going totally Christmas Vacation my mind a little bit. I'm like, did it eat
in the
light?
Box?
Did
yes.
it eat the lights? Did it fry the tree?
Didn't the grandma bring it over in the box?
Yeah.
And like it was like,
Mom?
Yeah.
I think this presence meowing or whatever the line is. Yeah,
and then her
funny.
Jello mold had like
leaking everywhere. Oh, it's gross.
Is that not the best holiday movie?
It is the best holiday movie.
Be going on
yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll loop Holiday Road in the background of this the podcast.
That's a great tune.
That's awesome.
A great tune, yeah. So, Lou, you know, I've been itching to ask you some questions because I know you have older kids and you're doing the college tour thing right now
a little bit.
You know, I
sure.
see that on your Instagram. So, you know, what is it like raising younger adults? I mean, they're basically young adults now, right? They're kind of fending for themselves. What are things that we can kind of expect as parents with younger kids? I know Mike's got a younger son. What can we expect to, like, is it going to get better? Is it going to get worse? Is it kind of the same? Or does it bring new, exciting things?
Yeah, I would say it's always these different versions of better. It never gets worse. It's always better. But one of the things that was fascinating to me was when they're little, they're yours, right? You have like this sense of ownership, right? This is my kid. This is my son. And as they get older, you realize that they're their own person. And if you've kind of teed them up right, they have that freedom and they're comfortable to try to figure out who they are. And that's really cool because then it's a tough pill to swallow because you don't really have the ownership. You realize it. I mean, we're all God's children kind of a thing. And, they have their own path. That part of things was very difficult for me. It really was. But you know, in the end, that's just how it is. And I will say one thing, and you know, this is going to sound so cliche, but I, even to this day, am shocked at how fast that time went by. I mean, I really am. I mean, I remember, you know, walking my boys into school, and I would hold both their hands, and then all of a sudden, one day, the oldest just pulled his hand away from me, and I never held his hand again. And I remember thinking, I would have thought I would have got like a letter in the mail saying, "Hey, you've got like 2 weeks left" or something. You know, I mean, yeah, something. It would have been like your driver's license renewal. Like you only get 2 more weeks, and he's not going to do it anymore. All of a sudden, one day, that was it. He just hit that stage. He grew up, and boom. So, it is really fascinating. It just gets better. It truly does. Mm-hmm. They are such a blessing, and but it is kind of amazing too to see how they become their own person. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's really kind of neat.
Yeah, no. Somebody told me one time too, and it was through the podcast. I get a lot of great, obviously, information from other dads that you never know. And my wife said it too. Maybe it was my wife that said it first. I better give her the credit because if she listens, because she did. I'm almost certain it was her too, but. There's always going to be that last time, and you never know. Like, when's the last time I gave my daughters a bottle? You know what I mean? Like, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, and she always said, "I'm not going to give that up yet." But eventually, you do, and you never know when is that last time, or when's the last time they're going to sit in your arms and you're going to read them a story.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't think you're holding your 17-year-old and reading them a story anymore. You know?
No, it's funny you say that because so last year my 17-year-old, well, 16-year-old at the time, he's a basketball player, plays a lot of sports, very, very active, but he got sick. And he had a fever, and he wasn't feeling well. And he asked me, he said, could you, you know, run up and get me some like Gatorade stuff? I said, sure. So I ran up and got him some stuff and came back. And I sat down on the couch next to him, and we were just kind of watching TV. And he was so tired, he kind of flopped over onto my shoulder and fell asleep. Dude, that was heaven. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God, I hope you stay sick for six more weeks. So there we were. I was able to put my arm around him, and we, cool. It was just – And it's a bummer that he had to, you know, that the virus had to slow time down like that. But man, that was so cool.
Well, they always come back, you know. For the most part, you know, you said I would imagine I'm not in that spot yet, but I would imagine you send them off right, they're going to come back, right? I hope.
Yeah,
I hope
you hope, right? Exactly.
So, but yeah, so you know, also with that, you like we said before, you're kind of going into the college realm with them and visiting colleges. How are you preparing for that? Not only emotionally, but you know, we know that's going to hit our pocketbooks, man. That's one thing I'm terrified of, so because I know how it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. So how have you been preparing for that, one, emotionally, and what do you think? What could you give maybe an advice to some dads that are maybe or moms that are going out there now? And getting ready to send their kid to college, what are some things that you found that were great that you did?
Well, I can tell you that financially, even for the 529 plans and things like that we did, I don't think you'll ever fully be prepared.
Right.
I mean, unless you're at some different stratosphere. If you're like most of us who are working our asses off every day, I don't think you're going to ever be 100% financially ready for this. I just don't think you will. Now, my oldest, we're lucky because he'll have a scholarship for basketball. The youngest, I mean, it's probably not going to happen. So we are obviously trying to have as much set aside as we can. But, man, every time we set something aside, a water heater blows or something like that. So we're just going to kind of do the best that we can, you know, really. And I think that's all you can ask. Emotionally, you know, I haven't really thought much about that whole empty nester thing until recently when the boys were away for a retreat. And, you know, it was truly like my wife and I in the house alone together. And I get it. You know, it's kind of like, okay, now what? You know, you find that you're as a couple, only thing you talk about are your kids, you know, and when they're gone, that's what you talk about. It's like the date night thing. That's all you ever talk about. It's the kids. So emotionally, I don't know that there's anything that you can do to ever really be ready for that. I mean, you're excited for them and everything, but man, you really, holding on to that time, it's like you never want that to end. And
Yeah, that's stuff too. Like, it's like, man, I keep thinking, I'm like, I don't want to wish my life away. So I want to keep those moments, you know, but you say like, and even, you know, I haven't experienced that far along yet of having kids in middle school, high school, you know, going away to college. But even the little things that I've noticed in the three years that my oldest has been born, it's like, when that was yesterday that I was taking you home in the car, you know, like it's true. It's cliche, but it's true that, you know, it does go by quick. And I don't know. I wish you could stop time. I wish we could do that. I think everybody would wish we could stop it for those moments. Some of those other moments kind of can go past, but you know, the exploding diapers or things like that. But
that's part of the charm.
And then, you get to the stage that my father's at now, and you're dealing with it again.
Yeah,
so there
right?
you go.
Yeah. Right.
If I could circle back to something.
For sure.
To something Lou said, there's a poet. His name is Gibran Khalil Gibran. He's a Middle Eastern poet. Mm-hmm. Okay, I read this far long before I had my kid, and this poem probably came out sometime in the 70s when he wrote it. But it's very powerful words. If I could just read
sure.
it real quick here.
Please.
It says, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you, for life goes not backwards, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable." It's like it rhymes more in a different language as a poet. But, I mean, words like that, they're like, let me know right off the rip, before even having a kid, that man, I didn't belong to my parents in the sense I belonged to life and to this future time and put into perspective, like, my kid and how my interactions and guide my interactions with him as well, that, man, as much as I want to hang on, there's a finite amount of hanging on you can actually do before it's actually hindering your kid's growth. So it's like this balance you have to achieve, and at the same time, you don't want it to go away. Like, there are moments I literally close my eyes and I'm like, bank this one. And I always go back. Hard times, the worst times, you just go back and you can just draw that out and be like, man, what an amazing time I had, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, Lou, you can answer this too, but Mike, I'm going to direct this one at you, but I see on your Instagram a lot that you're always out with your son. You're doing something. You're going to Greenfield Village. You're in Michigan and Detroit, or in Dearborn, actually. But you're doing something with him. You're finding that time. How do you find that time being, you know, you've got a lot going on here at Detroit Grooming. You guys are really successful, both of you guys. And I see Lou, too, on your Instagram. You're always taking the kids to a visitation at a university somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm envious of the energy, too, because, like, I don't know where you guys get it. But
I don't know either.
How do you find that time to be so involved and carve out that time? What do you do? You had any tricks or any master mindful things? Or you meditate every night, you know? How do you make it happen?
There's one. This might be the simplest answer, and it's not glorious or glamorous by any stretch of the imagination, but it's literally I make the time. Yeah, I have to make sure that is a priority in my life. My son is a priority in my life. I love him to pieces, and it's like, out of anybody I could spend my time with, that's the kid, that's the person I want to spend my time with. And again, understanding how fleeting all these moments are, you know, if there's an opportunity where there's a field trip or something like that, and I have to leave here, I have the slightest bit of guilt, and that slightest bit of guilt comes from, like, I, later on, I've got a lot of work to do. But right now, I could let it all go and go, you know, to this field trip, hang out with all these crazy animals if we're going to, like, a petting farm or something like that. Or the weekends, you know, I make sure that Saturday is, like, our day, you know. I want to spend that time with my boy playing games, board games. He really loves board games. And to try to nourish him and have him understand that this is protection and open and free environment, and, you know, this is who your pops is. You know, I don't fake excitement around my kid. I am as genuine as humanly possible. When I'm tired, I tell him I'm tired, and then he, you know what he says to me? I'm sorry, Baba. I hope you feel better. I'm like, dude, I'm just tired. I'm not sick. But he has this idea in his head of what tired is. Tired means pops is probably gonna sit on the couch for a little while before he gains up enough energy to do something. But try to make weekends special. And then throughout the week, I always do my best. So I always am able to make it to special events. So,
Yeah. What about you, Lou?
Yeah. You know, and I think, like, to Mike's point, is the different stages in life with these kids, there's sort of a fluidity to that. Like, and a good example is, you know, that when I had the boys, I had these visions of them being rock stars. That's what I always wanted to be. And I built the studio downstairs. I had a drum set, a guitars, and they took to it. They loved it. They really did. But then eventually they found their own direction. One, you know, the younger son is into photography, the older one's into basketball. And so what I did is I just took that energy and plugged it into what they want to do. So, and the other thing is that I find that when I bring them to work events, when I bring them to things that I'm doing, if I keep them involved with what I'm doing, they love that more than they do if I were to try to plan something, you know. And it's just the age thing. It's really at the ages they're at now. If I said, hey, we're going to go do this or do this, they see that as canned. They see that. But if I say, hey, you want to come along while I go do this, this, and this, man, they're all about that. They love that. They love to be involved. They love to see what I'm doing. And suddenly you realize that you've got all this stuff going on and everything else, but you've been doing it sort of side by side. And that time together, invaluable. I mean, it really has really just been huge, because it's you know, as they get older, it does get more challenging to maintain a relationship. You know, they have all these other influences, they have all these other things going on, and it's hard to be that one person you once were.
And I'm assuming they start to have other relationships of interests and things like that as they get older, right? So
yeah,
you got to compete with all that stuff.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of noise.
Well, like with my, like, to just to point a spotlight on what Lou said about, you know, going to work events and that kind of thing. My dad worked at Ford for like 35 years, right? So there was like bring your kids to work days. Like they had this kind of thing. Dude, that was so much better than anything else. Mm-hmm. I loved going to work with my dad and seeing where he worked.
Yeah.
And look at his desk, wow. You know, and just know like, dude, my dad works here, you know?
Right.
And my kid right now, he just, all he wants to do is come work here at the lab. He's like, I want to be one of your mans. You know, that's what he calls everybody here. But he comes in, and everyone here, man, I love these folks. Everyone here is so welcoming. They all like him. He's a good kid. And just bringing him in here, and he's getting the greatest welcome you could have. Of course he wants to come back here, right? Of course he'd want to work here. And by the way, he can't wait to grow a beard. I saw that throw that
I bet. Out. You know, it's the same thing. My youngest still isn't she does a little bit get it, but my oldest, like every morning, he's like, you're going to marching band today. You're going to marching band. She's totally obsessed with marching band and wants to be there. And she wants to stand up next to me when I'm directing the band or whatever. And it's just one of those. It's so neat. It's
you're
so neat to
hero.
See him do that.
You're a hero.
You are to them. I mean, it's cool. It's cool for them. And it is. I remember as a kid, unfortunately, like, well, my mom was a teacher, so I got to go there quite a bit. But my dad worked for GM, but he was in the, you know, he was a tinsmith, he was a tin knocker. So there wasn't a lot of opportunities for us, probably due to safety reasons, things like that. We could go. But those couple times that they had an open house at, you know, at the tech center here at GM or whatever, it was the coolest thing. I remember seeing the Beach Boys there.
Oh.
The Beach Boys, remember the Heartbeat of America
yeah.
tour?
Oh,
they opened the show.
In the 80s?
They opened 1988. They opened the show, my first concert ever. And all, except for obviously Dennis Wilson, were touring together. I think John Stamos was actually playing drums, believe it or not.
But it was, I know, right?
But I remember going to that, and that was so memorable. No, that was my first concert, but being there, being at his work, getting the free tickets to go because he was an employee, it was the coolest thing, and they're your hero. It's so neat to see that. Well, this is a good point for us to take a short break. Don't forget the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get our podcast on their app that you can get at the Google Play Store, the iTunes Store. Stick around after the break. We're going to talk more with Lou and Mike and Detroit Groom and stuff, and we're going to get into that Movember stuff. We're going to get into some of the holiday stuff that's coming up. You know, Thanksgiving's right around the corner as we record this, so a lot to talk about, a lot more going on, so stick around after the break. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We are here with Mike and Lou from Detroit Grooming Company. We had a great conversation, talked a lot about their background of with parenting and all the good stuff. We have a good contrast here today between the three of us, I think. You know, Lou having some older, you know, teenage kids, and Mike and I having the younger one. We're in between, I think, right? How old's your son again, Mike?
He's four. He's going to be five on
okay,
the 27th.
Okay, so he's a couple years older than my oldest. So, but yeah, some great conversation. But we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk a little Detroit Grooming and grooming and the importance of that. You know, since finding Detroit Grooming, my life has changed. It's made me a happier person. It's made me a better person. It does. It's just important to take care of yourself. And we've talked about this in the past on the show. But you know, maybe you guys can help me out. Why is it important important to make sure you're taking care of yourself and having self-care?
So the biggest part of like self-care and taking care of yourself is it's more what it does for you, but also a lot to do with what it does for others. Because if people don't normally think about this, but you know, if you're taking care of yourself, it's going to give you the confidence to complete your tasks and your duties more efficiently. It's really strange. It's all about, you know, how you feel about what you're doing. And a lot of that has to do with how, you know, they say getting out of the bed on the right side, or is that what they say?
Getting up on the right
on the right side of the bed, right?
Rather than the wrong.
So a lot of that has to do with your grooming routine. I know that sounds strange, but the more confident you are, you're going to lead your day a lot better, and your interactions with others. I mean, when you feel scummy and you feel like maybe you might not smell the best, your interactions are going to change because your confidence level is in the dumps. So it has unintended consequences in the positive and the negative, whether you groom or not groom. But it is very important for your hair and skin. Men are getting better and better at taking care of themselves, which is thank goodness. You know, that's all it I can is. Say about it that.
Yeah.
It's been a long road.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
And I would add to that as the boys get older and as a parent, you know, you're trying to demonstrate these grooming habits for your kids, you know, so that they start taking better care of themselves. Because it starts with sort of that outward stuff, right, the physical stuff, but then that also kind of transcends into the inward stuff, like sort of taking care of yourself as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, how can Why is it important to, or what can you guys offer here at Detroit Grooming that can help that busy dad and get him going on the right side of the bed, as we say? What's your routine, or what do you suggest for folks, for the bearded guy and maybe the non-bearded guy too?
Well, some suggestions I might have is, like, you know, take a look at your current routine and see if this is something that's imparting some sort of confidence in you, and it's also taking care of you. You know, check the ingredient label. You want to buy with confidence at the same time. You want to feel good about your purchase, but you don't want to walk around, you know, feeling like, well, maybe I just slathered myself up with a bunch of, like, you know, engine coolant. You know, because there are a lot of these same synthetics, and they're harmful, and they exist in all these grocery store shelves. With all these products that are just churned out to make profit. So you want to look at small batch. You want to go local if you can. Mm-hmm. Look at small batch companies. You know, this is all the rage right now, and it's popular, and it's not because of some crazy, strange, like, hipster thing. It's actually literally because people want to take better care of themselves. So don't, you know, don't let somebody tell you that it's a bad thing. It's a good thing to take care of yourself. So basically, check on your routine as it is right now. Start whittling out some of the stuff that you can include a more natural aspect in it. So get rid of, like, your heavily synthetic products. Mm-hmm. There's no better way to say that. But, yeah, that stuff is harmful long term. And you want to be a good dad. You want to be around for a while. You want to take care of yourself. You got to get the good stuff. Make sure you protect yourself and in the short term and the long term,
yeah,
you know, for your family.
Yeah. And you know, it's, you have a lot to offer. So, I know it's Movember. I know that's going on. It's the end of it. We're going to get this out right at the end of Movember. But, one, what is Movember? Well, how do you know, what's it all about? And two, how do you, maybe Lou, you can tag onto this after, but how do you get through that, you know, that initial stage? A lot of people start their beards in Movember or their mustache or whatever. But we all know there's the wicked 2 weeks of the first 2 weeks of your beard. And how do you get through that? So, you know, I've been through it a couple times. You know, I always cut it back and go through it, and it gets easier every time. But, you know, maybe a little bit of both. So what is Movember, and how can we kind of continue to take care of that beard so we can get through those itchier stages at the beginning?
Well, some people, sadly, Adam, they suffer for much longer than just a couple of weeks.
So I'm lucky?
Yeah, you're lucky. I think different things manifest over time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
if you're not, if you have no routine, you're going to end up with all kinds of problems,
yeah,
as time goes on. But
right.
Movember, as defined, is a time of year, November, where a set of guys in Australia started a movement to grow their mustaches out to raise money for men's health issues. Once it traveled, and it traveled very quickly, these were guys at work who started this, you know, together. It traveled very quickly all the way to our end of the earth, where it, by the time it reached us, it changed. It morphed. It morphed from, I think it was directly pointed at, like, prostate health or colon health. And by the time it got to America, we had turned it into No Shave November, and it had to do with growing a full beard because Movember denotes mustache. Right. So No Shave November, and it just spread in popularity here. And the biggest reason why is because people had an excuse to grow their beards in a very professional setting where they didn't have that available to them before. Before, they grew their beards out and were told you had to keep it at,
yeah,
X, or you can't have a beard, period. But it was covered and coated in this really nice shell, and that shell is charity. So people started raising money at their jobs, bank jobs, mortgage banker jobs, you know, places you would never see a bearded guy, right? And it just became more and more acceptable. And then they had to shift and change rules, just like they did. They had to do for tattoos and that kind of thing, because eventually you're just going to run out of people to hire because, you know, some of your greatest talent just happened to, like, go get a tattoo one time or something, mm-hmm, you know, or wants to grow a beard. Like, there shouldn't be anything wrong with doing that. But the rules that they had at these various companies were to keep it groomed. So now that allowed for the proliferation of grooming companies, smaller, you know, small batch, and a lot of these big dogs right now who are going after the beard game. I think one with a whistle as their theme, as everyone knows what that whistle is. You know, they're getting into the beard oil game, the butters, the balms, and all that kind of stuff. But I implore you to check ingredients first before making your purchase. So yeah, Movember shifted into No Shave November, and that's still, I feel like it's still morphing, it's still transforming, which is great. We tend to take things here in the United States and make them our own. We took rugby and turned it into football, which was a name we stole from soccer. And there's all kinds of stuff that we do here. But making it our own is great because then it's ours, you know? So, yeah, that's where the roots come from.
Yeah. So what about how can we get through that no-shave November stage to I'm going to embrace the beard for the whole year and make sure it's taken care of. How do we do that without going through the pain or the itchiness or the torture of possible it's torture suffering. Of it. It can be really bad.
Yeah, and for a lot of guys it is. For me, I'm one that definitely suffers from the itch. I have a very coarse beard here, and mine does get itchy. I mean, it really does. But of course, a lot of the reasons it gets itchy are because the skin beneath the beard is just dry. I mean, our faces as men, we don't produce enough oil to support facial hair. That's why they tend to grow in dry. The hair tends to be brittle. So that's why things like the beard oil, using that every day, coming out of the shower, the face is still wet so that the oil can be absorbed into the skin. You know, that will help mitigate the itch. The butter helps mitigate the itch. I mean, it just makes that experience so much more pleasurable, so much more enjoyable. Because you talk to a lot of guys who get the itch, that's when they bail, right? That's when they'll shave.
They tap out right there, and that's pretty rough because there's a long journey ahead that they might not ever know. You know,
right.
Like my dad, growing up when I was a youth, my dad had a full beard, and he shaved it eventually and just kept the mustache, and he's never shaved his mustache, so that's been on him ever since, like back in the day, but. I asked him, why did you shave your beard? And especially now, this is a good question to ask my dad, because I want him to enjoy our products too.
Right.
He can, and he does. But just asking him, would you ever grow it back out? And he just says, absolutely not. And I think it comes from the history of him having had a beard with no company, no product, nothing being made to handle that beard at the time. And if there was, it was so underground that even the underground had trouble finding it. So it was... There were no companies out there taking care of these men's issues.
Mm-hmm.
It seems strange, but you'd want to cater to all human race. But ladies have had the run of luck when it comes to products. I mean, there is an eye serum for every kind of eye skin that exists. There's like 3 million colors in a palette for just blush. Okay. We couldn't even have a beard oil 30 years ago. So, I mean, think about that. I just think it was by nature of these companies not seeing that men were a profit center because we really didn't take care of ourselves at those times. So, and if you did, you're considered like a gigolo or something, or maybe you had a bad reputation. Well, it got worse. So over time, in the 2000s, when men did start taking care of themselves, again, hair and skin thing, they attached it to a negative connotation. Metrosexual, lumbersexual, hipster, at every turn, they attempt to tamp down this just wanting to take care of yourself thing, which is kind of strange. I mean, we'll run into people just out in the wild, and they'll say, I don't use anything in my beard, and their shirt is covered in dander, beard is up close to the face, and their skin looks like it's been pulled over a drum. So, I mean, my only response is I can tell, but I never say that, okay, I'm not rude. But you can actually tell just from looking at the hair. How healthy is that hair? Does it have, the healthy shine? It doesn't have to be super shiny to be healthy. There's a lot more education now for men's products.
Yeah, for sure.
It gets us out of those itchy phases.
Absolutely.
A lot faster.
Yeah. So the holidays are coming up, Thanksgiving and obviously Black Friday. And I know you guys have a huge presence online with your storefront, and you also have it locally here in the Metro Detroit area. So what can folks expect to see, or what can they find maybe to kind of get geared up or start maybe putting their wish list together or give the hint to their significant other or their partner that, hey, I kind of want some of this stuff.
Get
so,
those hints
let our folks know how they can kind of get a hold of that stuff.
Yeah, well, for starters, we have some great kits, like a basic beard kit or a classic shave kit. And in that whole sort of gift-giving scenario, that makes it very easy, right, to get started for something like that. We also have a butter sampler kit coming out, which has all of our butter flavors, we refer to it, but all of the butter scents available in half-ounce jars. Okay. So this allows you to really kind of try the stuff, see what you think, kind of test the waters on all of them. Because really, they are so very, they're very alike in the base, you know, but in terms of the scent profiles, they're different. Right. Yeah, each one's its own animal.
Yeah.
So, and then of course, a lot of guys have fun mixing some of these things together too. Mm-hmm. Some of them play really well together.
Yeah.
So with that, then we've got a lot of other cool new products coming out too, like the black scent, which has been very popular. We even have a spray cologne for that. The butter, the oil. Now we have a candle, which makes for a great gift.
Mm-hmm.
We have our Christmas butter, which is coming out to match the Christmas oil.
That's big time. I'm so excited.
I smelled it, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I like it.
There's a lot of really cool new products. There really is. And then, of course, you know, I'm glad you brought up the point about the local retailers. So we're in about 500 different salons, barbershops, and specialty stores, you know, throughout the country and really throughout the world. I mean, we've got accounts in Russia and Malta and places like that.
And my family.
Yeah, it's from Malta.
That's my family.
Shout out to
Malta.
That's right.
I took it to Malta with me.
It's such a strange thing to throw out there sometimes. People are like, Malta? For real? Yeah.
You're like, listen, we're exotic.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
I will say we're in such exotic places like Denver.
But you've infiltrated some of the professional hockey teams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been really exciting. That whole sports team side of things, we got connected with a supplier for locker rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'll go around, they'll go to, like, events and that kind of thing, and then go to those individual locker rooms they've built this reputation with. They have a plethora of product. You know, these are players that, you know, like to use X or brand X all the time,
right.
You know? So they want to try new things. I mean, we have NFL teams. We have NHL teams. We have college football, college basketball teams. So they're spread out all over. It's like places you wouldn't think.
Mm-hmm.
Like the most recent one was the Coyotes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, looking at places that may not, like, gel with Detroit, interestingly enough, the product is what carries it past the name when
right.
you get to those scenarios. So a lot of fun to be in those locker rooms.
Yeah, that speaks huge. I mean, and hey, I can tell you from the dad experience side, you got me as a lifetime customer.
All right.
So
this was not a paid promotion.
No, it was not. This definitely was not. But you know, I'm glad I found you guys. You know,
it was
one of those things. Like I was searching. I did the beard thing. I don't know when I started, or I think I started in No Shave November, mm-hmm. and I was just trying to seek out that my skin was dry. You know, I wasn't treating it well, and trying to find the right one. I went through a couple places that I stumbled across, you know, first, and it's nothing, never stuck and fit, and then found you guys, and it definitely is. You know, I'm a user of the product, and it definitely has helped me, you know, all the way through on both sides. Even when I don't have a beard and I'm shaving, I love the shave soaps. I love your guys' razors, things like that you guys have. So great product there. So before we kind of close out, I always like to close our show with things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. We've done it before. Maybe something has changed, maybe not. And it could be something that you've already experienced or seen through your kids' eyes, or something you can't wait to do or share. And it could be anything. You know, it used to be kind of what movies or whatever. Now it's like, what is anything out there? What is the thing that you can't wait to see again through your children's eyes, or that you are really excited to see through your children's eyes? You want to take it first, Lou?
It's always such a tough one, because there's about a million things that I can think of. But something that I'd like to see through my children's eyes, gosh, this is always a tough question. Do you have an answer for it?
Do you have a mic? Do you have one first?
I'm going to wait on Lou.
We're going to wait him out?
Well, as soon as I say something.
Oh, he's going to copy. Jinx.
So yeah. I chose Lou first, so you're saying he has to go first.
How about this? We turn it on you, Adam. Or you were going to share anyway.
I can share.
Okay.
I've done it before.
Okay.
You know, I've kind of already experienced it once, but I continue to really enjoy. We're looking at traveling through motorhome, and we rented one this year, and we're looking to maybe getting one. And I loved that trip, going to Disney World for the first time in the motorhome when I was there. I cannot wait to do that with my kids. Not even because it's Disney World, but it's because I can't wait to share that experience. I still get like butterflies about that trip. So now it's like when we walk into Disney World and what they're going to see, but just that being together, traveling on the road, stopping at places, having lunch, you know, on the go, things like that. So I can't wait to do that. Obviously, traveling is a huge thing for our family. So that's the stuff that I just get really excited about with them. And obviously seeing them grow up, you know, kind of become the person that they're going to be. You know, I can't wait to see what's going to happen. What kind of job are they going to do? Yeah. You know, all that stuff is things that, but immediate, that's probably it. But long term, seeing them grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's you know, my youngest is an aspiring photographer, and I'll take him to Detroit, and literally I carry around the tripod and a camera bag as he walks that entire city looking for the perfect shot. And what we typically we end up doing is we find ourselves at the top of parking garages to get pictures of the sun hitting certain buildings at certain times of day, so he can have the picture like in the summer and then one in the winter and stuff like that. But one of the things that we do is we'll eat somewhere and we'll get the takeout or the takeout. We'll always make sure we have like leftovers. Right, whatever. And then the goal is to find, you know, a homeless person to give them the food. And that's just kind of like one of the things that we do. We just keep walking. And so we went down there this weekend, and we'd been La Lanterna, one of our favorite places, and we had
so good.
We had like a meatball and some fries. We had some, I mean, it was a nice little menagerie of food. And we were turned down by three homeless people. They all just basically said, no thanks, no thanks, what? No thanks, I don't want to. It never happens. It never happens.
Wow.
But what was interesting was to see this kid try to figure out why they wouldn't want that, which was even more interesting because then he starts asking bigger questions. Like, do you really think they're not hungry, Dad, or do you think maybe they just don't trust like us because maybe, you know, and I'm like, you know, that's probably a better question, Aiden. That really is probably a better question. I mean, if you put so to see something through his eyes, but to see something through his eyes is he's putting himself in somebody else's shoes like that is something that's really cool because that's really not something that you teach a kid. It's just something that they just kind of pick it up. And that was really kind of a cool thing. And that just happened, you know, this weekend.
That's
so,
cool.
Of course, we and first time ever, we brought the food home, reheated it and ate it like, you know, watching Saturday Night Live, which was just never happens. That's one of those things when you start to see that, like you said, that critical thinking, or you start to see the heart come alive like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. Mike, what about you, man? You got some tough shoes to follow now. But I know. Wish you would have went.
Thanks, you guys. Second. Thanks a lot, guys.
Tell us about toy time.
Yeah. So anyway, I do have a shameless plug. I have a shameless plug if I'm allowed to do it, but I'll wait on that. One thing I think would be really cool to do would be going fishing. It sounds like the most benign activity, but, you know, taking them places like the train store, and there's always like high levels of attention, and then the crash that ensues afterwards because they've given everything they had, you know, running around screaming, enjoying themselves, which is great. But he brought it up to me the other day. He actually asked me if I'd ever been fishing, which is funny because he's only been on Earth for like, you know, 5 years, right. 4 or 5 years. So he has no idea what I've done in my life, and he has no concept of what being 40 actually means.
Right.
I try to tell him that's when all your bones hurt. But anyway, well, I think he'll figure that out when he gets to be my age. Yes.
So have you ever been fishing?
But going fishing? Yeah, man. What's crazy is I used to go fishing all the time. In fact, it was one of my favorite things to do. I would have a fishing pole and a tackle box in my car year round, and I would just find spots and I would fish. I would go to Brighton. I'd go to Fenton. I'd go to Fowlerville. I'd go out in the middle of nowhere and just find a cool spot to fish and just introspective. But man, would the circle be complete if I could stand there and fish with my boy? I think he's going to love it. You know, give him a greater sense for the outdoors. And, you know, you talking about, you know, the conscious nature of your son, and he's a teenager now, you know? But just knowing he had that conscious nature all along, and it was just like, he just opened the door a little bit so you could peek inside. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Right?
It is cool.
It's kind of interesting because I'm like, we're at the store. I try to teach my kid balance. I call it like universal balance. So if you see a cart like in the middle of the parking lot, the shopping, you know, going shopping, we just grab the cart and put it back. It's just put everything back in balance because someone misbalanced it or unbalanced
it. It's like Mr. Miyagi balance.
This is what it is, right? So we're walking through the store. Yeah, wax on, wax off over here. Painting the fence was my favorite. But yes.
Sand the floor was mine.
Oh, sand the floor. There you go.
We all have one.
But walking through the store, and it's this place is always a disaster if anybody's ever been there, but it's like a Marshall's or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, one of those stores where everything's on sale all the time. Dude, they had we went in to look at toys again for board games. We were looking for like rare or interesting, mm-hmm. you know, board games. And we walked through the toy aisle, and there were just toys everywhere. And he told me, he's like, "Baba, it's all unbalanced. It's all unbalanced." So it's funny. I think that little creaking the door open and letting you take a look at, he knows what he's looking at. You know, your son knew what he was looking at, and he was like putting himself in that other person's shoes. And here's my kid thinking to himself, like, "Man, I got so much work to do because everyone just messed up this whole aisle. Now I got to clean it." You know, it's like that's what's going through his mind. So, fishing for sure.
Cool.
Fishing for sure. Well, and then all the rest of it was just a rant.
No, well, you have great answers and good, cool
yeah,
things.
Can I do it?
Your shameless plug?
Can I do a shameless
plug?
Yeah,
go for it.
All right, you guys. We just started a toy channel on YouTube. And it's called Toy Time Rewind, and it's a lot of fun. And we, unbox toys or we play board games, and it's something we like to do anyway.
That's fun.
And you know, he watches all these shows on YouTube about kids doing the exact same thing that we're now doing.
Yeah.
But now he sees himself on YouTube, and he thinks it's so amazing. But it's a lot of fun. And we have a lot of fun playing and you know, showing everybody the toys and that kind of thing.
Cool.
It's great. It's a good time. Good father-son time.
That is. That's awesome. So I guess this is our point, too, in the show where it's you let the folks know, one, where they can get the Detroit Grooming stuff. You guys have a podcast, too. And, Mike, why don't you go ahead and also share out the YouTube stuff, too. So how can folks find the product, and then how can they find more from you socially?
All right. We've never lived in better times, you guys. You can find us everywhere, social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I think we got MySpace.
Yep.
GeoCities.
What is the name? Still your
Yahoo
friend?
Chat.
What's his name? what was his name?
But if you guys look up Detroit Grooming on any of those, I believe Instagram's at Detroit Grooming. We are Detroit Grooming Co. on Facebook, at Detroit Grooming on Twitter. You guys can also find us on YouTube. The cool thing about YouTube is any questions you guys could possibly think to have, we've either made a video about it, or you're going to find some great links to some other folks who are just educating and are on that game of educating folks about growing their facial hair in and more about men's grooming, which is great. And like I said, right at the rip, we haven't ever experienced better times than what we are right now for what we're talking about.
What about your father-son YouTube channel? Is there something they can search for that?
Yeah, or? Just search Toy Time Rewind.
Okay,
that's,
cool.
Yep. And that's
awesome.
It.
Yeah, and then you can find both of us. We're both pretty active on our IGs.
Yeah.
We communicate with our customers, we communicate with our retailers, and we try to kind of keep everybody abreast of what's going on, what we're doing. Mike is Detroit Grooming _ Mike, and I'm Detroit Grooming _ Lou. So we are on there.
And the website.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot it.
www.detroitgrooming.com. Yeah,
and sign up for your newsletter.
I was just
going to
say
you're always sending out something, man.
Yeah, and if
and
you want those
stuff,
deals, you have to be on our newsletter list.
And yeah, just like Adam mentioned,
it's not spam. I'm going to tell you right now, it's definitely not.
But just like I mentioned, to sign up for the newsletter, if you guys hop on and sign up, we have the Black Friday deal that you guys will be able to take advantage of. We got a really cool exclusive offer, all those great products we just talked about today. And like I said, if you guys want to vet us out and you want to check us out, website's an awesome place, but YouTube, you can check out, you know, who we are as human beings.
A lot of education on there.
Yeah, and then one last thing. You're right. We have a podcast, the Detroit Grooming Experience Podcast. We record those live down at the Detroit Foundation Hotel in the Apparatus Room Studios. Really cool place. Mm-hmm. And, yes, you are on the guest list for the upcoming year. So we're going to be excited.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Excited to turn the tables on you.
I'm ready for it.
And we might twist those questions around a little bit. Like, what does your kid see through his eyes, neighbor's
that's
eyes?
It, that's it, man. That's it. Bring it on. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure. You guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving and holiday season. I know you guys are busy here and taking out that time to meet with me here today to share some more information with our listeners. I really appreciate it. So thank you so much, guys.
Well, thank you, man. And I'm glad we got a chance to squeeze this in right before November ended, of course.
Right.
But, you know, from our family to yours, happy Thanksgiving to you, Adam, and your listeners here. We hope you guys have an amazing time filled with family and friends.
Same to you guys. Thanks again. Don't forget that the Dad Experience, you can email us, experienceanddad@gmail.com. You can email me a question. Maybe you have a question for Mike or Lou and you didn't catch by rewinding to find out how you can get a hold of them. You can shoot me a question, or you can maybe you have a show idea or just a question for me. Let me know. Want to be a guest on the show. You can find us as well on most social media platforms. Just search The Dad Experience or The Dad Experience Podcast. You'll find us. And until next time, thanks for listening to The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.